Hallelujah. Amen. I want to speak tonight about being honed and not cloned. Being honed and not cloned. One of the mistakes I believe that can lead to a lot of condemnation in people's lives and even a feeling that they don't fit in the church is that notion that everyone should be exactly the same. That everyone should be exactly the same. You know, God isn't looking for a bunch of clones. He wants us to be honed and not cloned. Say honed and not cloned. To be honed means to be refined, improved, enhanced, fine-tuned. Who knows what we could do with some of that? Yeah. Come on, a wee bit of refining and improving and enhancing and fine-tuning. We could all do with some of that. But to be cloned means to be an identical copy of another or of another person. And a lot this confusion, I believe, very often arises out of a lack of understanding regarding the difference between character, say character, and personality. Say personality. Character is defined as the seat of a person's moral and ethical being. It is the sum total of all the positive and negative qualities in a person's life. It includes your thoughts, your values, your motives, and your attitudes. Whereas personality is defined as the complex of characteristics that distinguishes an individual, the totality of an individual's behavioral and emotional characteristics. So your behavioral and your emotional characteristics are what make up your personality. Romans chapter 5, it says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, say character, and character, hope. In Romans chapter 8, what's God interested in more than personality? Character. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose, for whom He foreknew. Purpose. Very important word, purpose. For whom he foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. So His desire is that we be conformed to the character of His Son. Why? Because God's interested in our character, in honing our character, not in cloning our personalities. In fact, let's look at another couple of scriptures. Well, one more anyway. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Just a little reminder of our makeup. That's not your lipstick. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23, now may the God of peace Himself sanctify, set you apart completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless to the coming of our Lord Jesus, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. So man is a spirit. We were created in God's image. God is a triune being, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We were created in God's image. We also are triune beings, spirit, soul, and body. It's important that we recognize that. And the Bible says we need to be set apart, spirit, soul, and body. The order there is very, very important. It's so important that we live out of the resources of our spirit, that our soul and our body live in alignment with what is being communicated to our spirit by the Holy Spirit. It's our Holy Spirit. It's our spirit. In fact, the Bible says that he that is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with Him. Your soul will be perfectly stabilized and your body will live in health and strength as long as you recognize that your spirit is joined to the Lord and you're one spirit with Him. God never gets emotionally in a tangle or never gets sick. And neither will you when you understand who you are. That you're, but it's, even in the newspapers and stuff like that, you know, sometimes in the newspapers they'll have these pages on health. And in the Daily Mail, I think it's like mind, spirit, and body or something. They always get it all confused and upside down anyway. No wonder it's full of junk. No wonder it's full of bad advice. Because they don't understand. Secular people, people in the world don't understand. And sadly, many people in the church don't understand. There's even some people in the church who say we're not made up of three. We're only made up of two. They say that spirit and soul are the same thing. Well, they err not knowing the scriptures. Because it speaks there of spirit, soul and body as being three very distinct parts of a whole. And it says, and also in Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12, it says that the word of God is the only agent that can actually divide between the soul and the spirit. So they might be close, but they're different and distinct. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So man is a spirit who has a soul and he lives in a body. Your soul is made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions. Okay? But God is more concerned with our character than with our, help me, personality. Who knows, Scripture has a lot to say about Jesus' character, but very little about his personality. That's because God wants us all to display the same character, but he doesn't want us all to have the same personality. That would be plain boring. That would be flat out boring if everybody was the same personality. But he does want us to be all conformed to the character and the image of his Son in our spirit. God stamped his image on our spirit. On our spirit man. Hallelujah. Amen. God is a spirit, Jesus said. And we have a spirit. And that's the part of us that was created in God's image. You know, you'd be glad to hear God doesn't probably look like me. And I'm glad he doesn't look like you. Sorry if that upsets you. I wouldn't mind if he looked like a toot. No, I'm not gonna. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Who knows? An emotional person is someone who is easily stirred by or affected with emotions. You know, some people are more emotionally led than others. Very often that's dependent upon their personality type. That's what we're going to look at a little bit this evening. But as I said, God is more concerned with our character than with our personality. Our new character begins in our spirit. God's will is that we be conformed to Jesus' character, that we have Jesus' character formed within us. Romans 8, verse 14 says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. According to psychologists who study the soul, you know, the Greek word for soul is psyche. We would, in English, we would call it a psyche, but those who study these things, they say that there are four basic personality types. Four basic personality types. Most of us are a blend of at least two of these types. But I believe it can help us sometimes to know who we are personality-wise so that we are not led by our personality. But also so that we're not condemned by not being like everybody else. Who knows, there's some people who want to try and be like somebody else. Because they think, and sadly this has happened, that more certain personality types are promoted above others. And I want to try and help you tonight to understand that regardless of your personality type, you can display just as much of the character of God. You can be just as effective in the kingdom of God as somebody who might be promoted because of carnality in the church, basically. Because Mr. Smiley person tends to get promoted. And the positions of on the up front, you know what I'm saying? But that, I tell you, man, I've had people smile at me and stab me in the back at the same time. If all that guy's got a smiley personality and he ain't got the character of God, I don't trust him. I ain't buying a car off him. Come on, somebody help me. I mean, we all know that. Well, most of us probably remember around New Year time, you know, the caricature by Ricky Fulton of, you know, the Reverend I.M. Jolly and the Reverend W.E. 3, you know, I'm so happy. You know, and there's people like that. There's a personality type that would speak like that. Oh, I'm so happy. And you're like, you don't look happy, but they're happy, but it's just their personality type. And people say, we don't want to put him up front. We don't want him to say anything. We don't want him to promote our church. It's the character of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. It's character that God's interested in, not personality. He made us different for a reason. Hallelujah. It's as the different personality types in the church rub up against one another that the character of Jesus is formed. In Proverbs 27:17 it says, iron sharpens iron. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on, you want everybody to be like you? Or you want to be like everybody else? But there's no iron to sharpen the iron then. In fact, well, let's remember what the rest of that verse says in Proverbs 27:17. Let's just read it. There's a second part of that verse. I think I remember it, but I better not misquote it. So Proverbs 27. Has anybody ever struggled with this kind of stuff? I want to help you tonight if you have, you know. I believe most of us have. I think I probably have. Proverbs 27:17 is, iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Hallelujah. So it says the different personality types in the church rub up against one another that the character of Jesus is formed. Iron sharpens iron. So the first personality type we're looking at tonight is choleric. The cholerics, that's cholerics, not clerics. Okay. Cholerics have strong... You might, we can have some fun here. You might recognize yourself. You'll probably recognize other people. Straight away you go, I know who that is. But cholerics have strong personalities. They're born leaders. They want to be in control. One of their strengths is that they usually get a lot accomplished. And one of their weaknesses, is that they tend to be bossy. Katrina, come on. So one of their strengths is they tend to get a lot done, but their weaknesses, one of their weaknesses is that they tend to be bossy. If anyone wants to confess anywhere through this, you know, just put up your hand and we'll know that you're just making a confession, all right? Hold fast your confession, the scriptures say. Hallelujah. They're normally strong, goal-oriented, highly motivated by new ideas and challenges. They get stirred up and excited about new ideas. But God brings balance to cholerics as he begins to form the character of Jesus in them. So they're not so emotionally driven and not so aggressively excited. Who knows what that's like? But instead they begin to take time to hear from God. And yeah, they still get excited about it, about what they hear. But they lead others, and this is important, they lead others at a pace they can cope with. Because the Spirit of God puts a little bit of restraint on them. Because the Spirit of God knows that everybody isn't the same as them. And everybody doesn't think the way they think, and everybody's not wired the way they're wired, and everybody can't keep up with them at the pace that they're going at. And that's why we need the Spirit of God to bring balance to us. That's why we can't live out of our personality. We live out of our spirit, and what God is doing and what God is forming and what God is saying and what God is creating is then manifested through our personality. But it's the character of God coming through our personality. Not our personality out of control. As many as are led and controlled by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. God's heart is that we be conformed to his character. Hallelujah. Amen. So they lead others at a pace they can cope with rather than whipping them up and getting mad if they don't see things as clearly as they see them. Who knows what I'm talking about? John 5, verse 30. John chapter 5 and verse 30. Jesus says, I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will. I'm not just going to fire off out of my own personality, but I seek the will of the Father who sent me. I want his character to be outworked in my personality or through my personality. So it's important. I mean, cholerics, they're awesome people. Who thinks they're a choleric? Just as a matter of interest, just stick up your hand if you think you fit in there somewhere. One honest man. Somewhere in there, okay. I mean, some members, very often we can be a mixture of two, or but one of these probably be stronger, but... Amen. When someone puts up their hand, look around and see if you agree with that. All right. The second, first one, choleric. Second personality type, phlegmatic. Phlegmatic. That sounds like a disease. You're suffering from some disease. Phlegmatic. PHLEGM. I'm really helping you now. A-T-I-C. It's not rheumatic, it's like being rheumatic except you've got phlegm instead of joint pain. Alright. A phlegmatic, okay. Can we get beyond this? They usually show little, it's psychologists, if you can imagine. They usually show little or no emotion at all. They're not so quick to get enthusiastic about, and you see, you can get irritated with people like that, can't you? You know what I'm saying? Like this morning when you released God's plan, and if there'd been any phlegmatics around you, they'd have been, then I come up to you and say, well, you know, I'm just not sure about this. You're like, what do you mean you're not sure about it? Yeah, life, you know what I mean? They're not so quick to get enthusiastic. I mean, sometimes I show up with ideas and computers like, mm-hmm. And I'm more mm-hmm about her ideas, I'll tell you better. They're not so quick to get enthusiastic about a new idea or project. They tend to be more logical than emotional. They see the responsibilities connected to something. That's an important thing. You need folks like that around, actually. They can very often be the balance, the iron sharpening the iron, you know. They say, well, you're going to run out and do this, but what about this? You need to remember the responsibility attached to what you're talking about here. You can't just run out and start a fire and then walk away and leave it. Come on, if you start a bonfire, you don't just walk away and leave it. You stay there until that last embers are gone. Otherwise, you've got no sense of responsibility. You keep an eye on the sparks. You watch the wind direction. Come on. They see the responsibilities connected to something, so they think things through rather than just launching out in the initial excitement. Folks like that, they can come into a full-blown Holy Ghost meeting and walk out and say they didn't feel anything. Come on. I've been in these, like, Spirit of God's moving. Everybody's, you know, some are laughing, some are crying, some rolling around the floor, some just shouting, hollering, jumping 6 foot, and somebody in the... And it's not that they're unspiritual. It's not that they don't have the character of God. It's not that they're... You can look at them and judge them. And say, look at the state of that person. God's moving in this place and they're not even affected by it. I tell you, some of the strongest leaders in the church have never fallen down when someone prayed for them. Have been in Rodney Howard Brown meetings and not laughed. Come on, and you can sit and judge them. That's by their own confession. Rick Joyner says he's never been touched or impacted in that way. What's that call's name from Bethel? Chris Vallon said the same thing. Now, they're teaching people in the context of meetings where people are, all these things are happening, and yet it's not happening to them. Now, you'd be afraid to judge them because they're the guy leading the meeting, but what about the guy at the back, in the back row, who's sitting there like this, and you judge him, you're like, man, at least stare at that, you know what I'm saying? But I tell you, if you've shared your problem with him, he might be the one that would bring you the wisest counsel. Who might just lay his hands on you and be instantly healed from whatever sickness was afflicting you. Because it's not about personality type. It's about the character of God. It's about the life of God. It's about, come on, let's grow, it's time to grow up, guys. Come on. You can walk out of a service where the Holy Spirit's been moving in awesome power and glory and everybody else has been affected and impacted in so many different ways, and they walk out and say they didn't feel anything. The reason is they don't judge whether God was present or not by their feelings, but rather by logic. They sit there and they say, this is God's house, so God is here. And I tell you, folks like that are vital. If you just have a bunch of people that do everything by their feelings, what a mess. Because the day you can't stir them up, the day you can't say something or do something or get the right music that excites them, you've got big trouble. But if you just get a few phlegmatics in there, hallelujah, you just know this is God's house, so God is here. You don't have to stir me up. You don't have to excite my emotions. Come on. At the end of the day, if someone needs prayer, they're the ones sometimes who can come and pray because they didn't need the excitement. They just believe God. Because God said it. Like Michael Wigglesworth said, God says it, I believe it, that settles it. Come on. Jesus said, it is written, that's enough. Doesn't matter how I feel about this. It is written. It is written. It is written. But the Holy Spirit wants to bring some balance to these guys as well. Don't get me wrong. Sometimes they need to stretch themselves and allow the excitement that the Holy Spirit brings to manifest in their lives. Luke chapter 10. Conformed to whose image? The image of Jesus. Let's hear this. Luke chapter 10. In verse 21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit. Where did his rejoicing begin? In the Spirit. Doesn't matter whether you're a phlegmatic and your personality type, you can rejoice in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit can bring a rejoicing to you. He said, it says he rejoiced in the Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent and revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. He rejoiced in the Spirit. Sometimes phlegmatics need to stretch themselves and allow that excitement to manifest in them. But it might not reach the face, you know what I'm saying? Maybe I've said that, I've quoted that lots of times, what Alf Aikman said, you know. And people say, oh, well, I've got the joy of the Lord, but it's really deep down there on the inside. And, you know, even he said, well, it's about time you informed your face. And that gets a laugh, but to be honest, there's some people, you don't always just see in their face what's really happening in their lives. You see, that's why we're speaking about this tonight, because we need to understand it's not the personality type that God's so interested in. Someone that you think is so deadpan, someone that's so never danced once in church yet, but there's a depth to them that you can plumb if you just stop judging them and get alongside them and start fellowshipping in the Spirit. Come on. Hallelujah. Not that they can't be stretched, need to stretch themselves sometimes, you know, because sometimes they can get locked into their personality type instead of allowing the character. They might shock themselves sometimes the first time their foot starts tapping. Come on. Come on. You know, the wee dance comes on, I'm like, ooh, what's this? As well, it's a new experience in God. Hallelujah. First type, choleric. Second type, phlegmatic. The third type is sanguine. S-A-N-G-U-I-N-E, in case you want to spell that one. Sanguines, or sanguines, whatever you want to pronounce it, are the most emotional type of all. We're going to spend a long time on these guys. See, a lot of people think that churches like this only attract emotional types. We're accused continually of just being into our emotions. Isn't that the truth? Well, maybe some of the... When I hear accusation, it doesn't always feel good. In fact, sometimes it hurts a little bit. But I don't ever reject it forthwith, out of hand. There's maybe a bit of truth in there sometimes. We need to just sit down with it sensibly and allow the searchlight of God's word to take that accusation and see whether there's anything in it or not. But whether it's even justified a little bit. Who knows what I'm talking about? Sanguines are the most emotional type of all. They have a bubbly personality. They seem to bounce through life. Their voices can usually be heard above everybody else's. They're always they're always so excited about everything. The problem is that sanguines can get on others' nerves and yet never even notice. They can be so bagging you and irritating you, they don't even notice. Because they're so full of fun and energy, they're usually oblivious to anything other than having a good time. They're often not very disciplined, and often they're untidy. Somebody's just aiming for the door there. There's no condemnation if you just stay in the Spirit and let the character of God bring some balance. Amen. You see, they rarely stick to a plan. But a good thing is they're not worriers. They never worry about anything. Some people would say they have a charismatic personality. How often have you heard that? They can attract other people to them, although being around them too long can wear you out. So first of all, they attract you, and after a while, he's just worn out. You can see them far enough. Sanguines need the Holy Spirit to bring balance to them as he forms the character of Jesus. And that's, in fact, in Romans 12:3 it says to think soberly. And that word there, the Greek word there, means to be of sound mind. It means to be sane, self-controlled, serious. Who knows, there's a time to be serious. There are times to be serious when sometimes the sanguine struggles with that. To be self-controlled, to be serious, to be moderate, sober-minded, restrained, disciplined, able to reason. It's a time to be serious. You know, sanguines could lead you off somewhere and then forget about you. Sanguines, they'll tell you all the things they're going to do and then they move on. Many times has that happened in the church? Morning, show up and they're full of, oh, we'll do this, we'll do that, we're going to do, oh, yeah, but you're like, yeah, this is good. And they're setting you up and they're firing you up and the next thing they're gone. You know what I'm talking about? I've had a few of them pass through. And you get excited because you think, oh, yeah, at last. But it's their personality talking, it's not the Holy Spirit. It's their personality talking. They need to understand that they won't be able to fulfill that out of the resources of their personality, only from the resources of the Holy Spirit. That's why God's more interested in their character than in their personality. In Titus 2:12, it says that we should live soberly. And that word comes from two Greek words, the Greek word sozo, which means to save, and another Greek word, phrein, which means the mind. In other words, to have your mind saved. It's an adverb that signifies acting in a responsible manner, sensibly, prudently, being in self-control and full possession of intellectual and emotional faculties. You need to be in full possession of your emotional faculties. You need to have them in submission to the Spirit of God in your born-again spirit. Sanguines are often the ones who are gung-ho about what you suggest. Then after a while, there's no sign of them. That's why they need the Spirit of God. Amen? Hallelujah. That's why they need the character of God formed in them. It's an awesome personality type. It really is. Well, they can be the most fun to be around for a time. But there's got to be more to it than that. There's got to be a greater depth to it. You've got to go down deep into your spirit. And from the resources of your spirit, you bring control to that personality type. Number one, can somebody help me? Choleric. Number two, phlegmatic. Number three, sanguine. Number four, melancholy. That just hit someone right in the center of their emotions. But melancholics, that's not alcoholics, although some of them can tend towards that direction. They're the people who have the most trouble with depression. They're very deep people. They're deep thinkers. Very often they're organizers. They believe there's a place for everything and that everything should be in its place. Come on. If the sanguines are untidy, they're very tidy. They're very neat people who tend not to react very well to their order being disturbed. Come on, you come in and you move a chair and they're up straight away moving it back. You know what I'm talking about. You know, it can be hard houses to visit, you know what I'm saying. They're always picking up after you, you know what I'm saying. It's like, you're like, oh God. I remember going to somebody's house one time and it was painted, it was like a Harley Street clinic, all painted white. And the light coloured carpets, and when you arrived at the door, they said, could you please remove your shoes, and we have slippers for everybody. What size are you? You walked in and these wee kids are playing in this These wee babies are on this light coloured carpet with these white walls. I thought, these kids are never going to become immune to anything. Like their order being disturbed. Who knows what I'm talking about? Come on. See, melancholics need the balance of the Holy Spirit. And what the Holy Spirit produces, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the emotions, which are love, joy, and peace. They need the joy. The Holy Spirit produced joy to balance them out, to bring them a release. Galatians 5:22, it says that joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And if you turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, in verse 6, I mean, this is crazy. This has to be God. And this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. That the genuineness of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by the fire. See, when melancholics go into the fire, there's a tendency to get depressed. When they encounter problems and struggles, there's a tendency to sink into a depression. Whereas we need to rejoice in these things. How can you do that? Only by having the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The only cure for someone who's depressive is the joy of the Lord. Nehemiah verse chapter 3 verse 10, it says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. But the genuineness of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though you now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Where do you get that from? Only from the Holy Spirit. Receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Your spirit's saved, but your soul's in a process. Your psyche, your soul, your personality, who you are, your mind, your will, your emotions, the person that you are. That's your personality. That's why it's called your personality. It's your personhood. In the spirit, we're all the same. But our personality distinguishes us from one another. Just as our physical appearance distinguishes us from one another. But you know what it's like. Us honkies in here, man, you be thinking, oh, black people look the same. All Chinese and Asian people look the same. That's what we think. But they probably think the same about us. Do you know what I'm saying? Come on. But it's not true. But then you look a little bit closer and we discover they don't all look the same. And it's the same with personalities. God doesn't want us to look the same. He created all of us different. Every fingerprint is unique. Never mind how you look facially, but even your fingerprints are unique. That's the God that created us. He created us unique, not so that we would be cloned, but so that we would be honed. Romans 14. Are we helping anybody yet? Romans 14 and verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Righteousness, peace, and joy. Hallelujah. In the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. See, the good news, folks, is that's the melancholic. Needs to have that joy. Be pulling on that joy. Like I say, you might not always see it in their face. They're not the smiliest people. Well, I've struggled with some of that stuff before, you know what I mean? Who knows, it's painful trying to hold a plastic smile on. I mean, somebody asked Joel Osteen, why do you smile all the time? He said, because that's just who I am. Come on. I mean, the guy was taking my picture out there, the reporter guy. He took about 20 pictures. I was feeling the pain of trying to hold this ridiculous smile. Come on, I mean, when I'm doing editing these videos, I'm trying to get a screen capture so I can put it on the beginning of the DVD. I'm lucky if I can find one smiley bit in 60 minutes. Joel Osteen just stands up and goes, you know what I mean? Bit like Ali Lockett, you know what I'm saying? In fact, Magnus is standing there shining at me right now in the middle. Hallelujah. You see, the good news, who knows there's always good news?
Yeah.
Not right, Anne? Always good news. The good news is that we can rejoice in who we are, regardless of our personality type. Who knows there's nothing sadder than someone trying to be somebody else? I mean, kids out there, they're trying to be somebody else. They're trying to be like their hero or their heroine. You know, they've got these posters up on their wall. They think they know the person, and the person doesn't know nothing about them. Thank God that we can know God. Amen. And we can be like Him. That's His desire. Not that our personality becomes like Him, but that our character becomes like Him. And that His character can be displayed through us, whatever our personality type. You know, some folks, man, don't send a sanguine down to them. They won't be able to receive anything from them. That's just the way it is. They'll irritate the life out of them. Come on. You send a melancholic to them who's got the character of God. Hallelujah. Who might not have a smiley face, but there's joy. There's a strength in them that's created by the joy of the Lord. God created personality. Isn't that something that we can take strength from? God created us with the personality type that we have. Yes, there's some honing needing to take place, some balance that needs to come. But He created us with this personality. It would be incredibly boring if we were all the same. And that's what happens in cliques, isn't it? Those of the same personality types all get together and they look down on everybody else. Come on. Oh, need to get them. They're the life and soul of the party. Said, you can't live in party mode all the time. I tried it for several years. It don't work. It wrecks your life. Destroys you. We don't want them. They're boring. Come on. Thank God He gives us the Holy Spirit to balance us out, to produce His character in us so that we can all live with one another in harmony and in unity, regardless of our personality types and differences. I'm just nearly done this. I sure we got nearly back tonight, folks. You can have two cups of tea tonight before you go. So although there's four basic types of personality, as I said at the beginning, most of us are a blend of two or even more of these types. And so why do we want to even know about these things or even talk about these things or think about these things? Because I believe it can be helpful to recognize the different personality types, to have some understanding of where we fit into these different personality types, and that how we react emotionally depends to some extent on which of these personality types best describes us, where we fit into these things. Whether we're choleric or phlegmatic or sanguine or melancholy or a mixture of two or a blend of three of them, even of some. But usually you'll find, as I said, one of them will be stronger in you than the others. But always remember that what's most important is that we allow the character of Jesus Christ to be formed in us, that we become conformed to His character, that we become well-balanced individuals, those who are led by the Holy Spirit. And that regardless of our personality type, people will, as we said this morning from Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, that people will see your light shine. Who knows, you can have some dolly bird who could find her place no problem on the front cover of any of these glossy magazines. As far as her physical attributes are concerned, you would say, wow. You can have some old Callie up with more wrinkles on her face than a prune. And it's the old Callie the light shines out of. The other one might have perfect teeth and a big white smile that covers from page one side of the page to the other. The old Callie's got not a tooth left in her head. She sucks everything instead of chewing it. But it's her face, the light shining out of. Somebody help me. That people will see our light shine, not the Colgate ring of confidence. Who remembers that? You've got to be old to remember that advert. Most of you in Lewis didn't even have ITV at that time. That they might see our light shine, that they would see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. You see his character in us. Who knows that although some personality types can be pushed into ministry positions based on their personality, that's very dangerous. That character should always be the main consideration. In Paul's epistles, some people call them the pastoral epistles, to Timothy and to Titus, all of the qualifications for leaders are in regard to character and don't even mention personality. Come on. They're all in relation to character. Not, and yet, in carnal churches all over the place, and we could fall into these traps, you appoint people according to their personality. I'm not saying you don't take any account of a character, but very often you can appoint people on the basis of their personality, and you can find yourself very laid down. And maybe a lot of the, if we paid more attention to what the Word of God said and how we perceive things from a natural perspective, then maybe we'd avoid some of the pitfalls, avoid some of the troubles. Amen? I mean, to have a smiley person who's full of everything that looks good and feels good to be around and have the character of God, that's an awesome thing. Amen? Hallelujah. But it's not a necessary thing in the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God is not just in word, but it's in power. Hallelujah. And the power of God manifests through the character of God and not through the human personality. You can be conned by human personality. You can be wowed by human personality. But you can't be saved, healed, or delivered through human power. Well, if you had, it won't last long. Let's stand up together. Hallelujah. Goraba shikaba. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, that you created us. Lord, just the way we are, created us different from one another in so many different ways. Lord, we have different personality types. Lord God, we have different natural characteristics. But I thank you, Lord God, that in each and every one of us, your heart, your desire, your purpose will be fulfilled through those whose character has been honed. Not through personalities that have been cloned, but through hearts and that have been spirits that have been honed. So we've been conformed to the image of your Son. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Lord, that you created a spirit, soul, and body. Thank you that everything that we are and everything that we accomplish of any eternal significance begins in that relationship that we have with you, spirit to spirit. Father, I just pray, Lord God, for anyone here tonight, Lord God, that struggled, Lord, with the personality type that you created them with. Lord, who's ever felt condemned or felt that they didn't fit or felt that they were different, felt that they couldn't be like everybody else. Thank you, God, you didn't want them to be like everybody else. Lord, I just ask for freedom tonight in the life of anyone who's struggled with that, who's been bound by that. I just speak freedom. I speak liberty. I speak to you spirit to spirit. I say stand fast in the freedom by which Christ has made you free. The spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made you free from everything else. Stand up on the inside and be who you are. Allow the character of God to be formed within you. Allow his power and his glory and his kingdom to manifest in your life. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Lord, if any of us here tonight, Lord, have been, Lord, sucked into that understanding Lord, that the personality is so important, Lord, and we become imbalanced and unbalanced in these things. And Lord, we've begun to put more store by personality than we have by character. I pray, Lord, you'd bring some correction to us tonight, Father. Just restore balance to us, restore an understanding to us, Lord God, that everything begins in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Father, I just ask that each and every person here tonight, Father. Hallelujah. Jesus.
There will be a
set time. Kira marabasita rababa shukubu sakabara babunda masaka. Aramasito.